For those of you who may not be aware, the food that is in the fellowship hall will be in the kitchen, actually, after is what was left over from yesterday. We had fajitas and frijoles yesterday, and they didn't get all eaten, so come share if that's the kind of food you enjoy. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this evening. The title of the lesson was, or is, By Which We Stand, which will come through from verse 3, actually. But I want us to gain, again, a perspective of what is taking place in the text. If you remember, in chapter 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians, it was very clear that Paul states that he wanted them to be all of the same mind, chapter 1, verse 10, actually. And then when he came to chapter 2, the emphasis was placed upon what Jesus had done to make them all one, to bring about unity. As we have studied this book and underneath the auspice of looking at the key theme of the writing being the unity of the church, Paul has addressed a myriad of different areas, subject matter, but all brings it back to the importance of them being unified. The last such subject matter which we addressed was in chapters 12 through 14, where Paul was talking about spiritual gifts and the worship of the church, the benefit, the purpose of the church at worship. And that's always worthwhile for our consideration of looking and seeing exactly where the heart of the church is in worship. Tonight we find ourselves in chapter 15, and I want us to, if you haven't already turned there, go ahead and turn there. I want you to hear the first three verses that Paul writes in this chapter, this section here, and hear the heart of the matter. Based on what he has already said, starting with verse 36 of chapter 14, when he says, "Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it in you only, that it reached? If anyone thinks of himself a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that which the things which I write to you, the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order." So he sort of concluded this thought of what he has previously stated there, but notice how he begins with verse 1 of chapter 15. "Moreover, brethren, besides that, listen, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by all which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." I want you to hear the apostle as he talks about where the people, from where they have come. You receive this gospel that was preached to you. You have taken this word. You have made it your own. You have responded to it. But that's the past. He goes on to say, it is in that word, that gospel that you received, it's by that you stand. I want us to focus a little attention this evening on that phrase and on the context of what the Apostle Paul is going to say. He's going to talk about in a minute why he's preaching this and what the heart of his message is and always has been. But I think it is very important that each of us come to the reality, the understanding of how important it is that we keep that gospel which we as Christians have responded to in our forefront, is we hold it out, we hold it up in our lives. You know, a verse that Russ likes to use when he preaches comes out of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And it is a verse that the prophet says, or God says actually, through the prophet, when he says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." That's shameful enough, that's hard enough, that's sad enough, but how much more devastating is it when the people who have responded to the Word of God, who have recognized their sin, who have come to appreciate what God has done and how He did it by giving His own Son's life, how they fail to retain that, fail to hold fast that knowledge. As I was reading this, my mind could not help but go back over to Romans, the first chapter, when that whole list of sinners there, and how God says that they fail to retain the knowledge of Him in their minds. You know, you're here tonight because you want to be here tonight. You're here on Wednesday night because you want to be here on Wednesday night. You're here on Sunday morning because you want to be. When we have gospel meetings, when there's efforts and opportunities, you're here because you want to be. And I hold the conviction that you're here because you want to know more about God. You want to worship God. You want to serve God. And the fellowship and the edification that comes from being together is a side note. Is the added blessing. It's the icing on the cake, if you will. But know that the meat and the heart of the matter is that we ourselves hold fast the Word. What's the Word? If we look at what the Apostle Paul says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received from Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again, and on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Two things are noteworthy in that verse that Paul cites there. And the first part of that is, here is the heart of the gospel. I have written in my Bible a little heart, and written in red, and those three or four verses right there is the heart of the gospel. That Christ, according to Scripture, lived, died, was buried, and was raised again. That's the heart. And unless someone forget, unless someone misunderstand, this was not something that just happened. There are those today who told the teaching that the way the church is, the way the world is today, is not what God had originally designed. He had designed for His Son to come and to set up an earthly kingdom, but because He was rejected by man, He had to go to plan B. If I understand what the Holy Spirit has said through the Apostle Paul in that verse there, He said according to Scripture He came. According to Scripture He died. According to Scripture He was buried. And according to Scripture He was raised again. If that does not give us and strengthen us with the knowledge of the foreknowledge of God and the planning of which we have already declared in Ephesians chapter 1 how God determined His Son would come for our salvation and for the salvation of all who would respond to it. Paul finds it important to go ahead and say, this is the heart. He didn't say, this is paraphrase. This is my interpolation. This is the heart of the gospel. This is what I have declared to you. This is that which you have responded to. This is that is the gospel, the great news, the message, that Jesus came according to Scripture. Jesus died according to Scripture. Jesus was raised according to Scripture. And if there is anything more important than what we read in verse 1, it's the Scripture, it's the gospel, it's that message by which we stand. If I believe, and that belief is not just a superficial knowledge, if I have the conviction that my God sent His Son to live and to die, then I am able to retain and have the hope, the confident expectation. I'm able to stand with the knowledge that there is a resurrection for me and for you. That what we face here has nothing to do with our eternity. It doesn't matter if I've got scars or if I limp, if I've got a backache. That's just an earthly tent. That's not heaven. That's not the body with which I'm going to be translated. That's not eternity. Paul says what is eternity is that Scripture is fulfilled. Scripture is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, in the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and His resurrection. And he emphasizes throughout the rest of this chapter, portion of this chapter, how important it is to understand that this resurrection is that which gives life. You understand that, you comprehend that, you've studied Romans, so you know that when we are buried with Christ and bury the old men, we are raised again. We face a resurrection right there from the dead to live, how did Paul say it, in newness of life. In the same way, Paul takes the time to say, you know, Cephas saw Jesus when he raised from the dead. 500 saw Jesus when he raised from the dead. James saw Jesus when he raised from the dead. I myself, born out of due season, I have seen Jesus raised from the dead. There's our confidence, family. If God raised Jesus up, let me say it again, he can raise you and I, you and me. He can raise us. One, from whatever this world wants to place on us, however this world wants to hold us down, whoever wants to bury us, my Lord, my God can pull me up, can raise us up, living in that newness of life. And as Paul speaks here, no, jump on over there if you will, in verse 12, to see the demonstration of this hope. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how then do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is vain. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because he has testified of God that he raised up Christ. Wow. Go ahead and read that, finish that chapter. That's powerful. What's Paul saying? The whole basis of our faith, the whole evidence of us not being false teachers, lies in the confidence, in the knowledge, in the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I tell you, family, there needs to be some resurrections today. There needs to be some people coming forth from the watery grave of baptism to live in the newness of life. I heard a preacher make the comment one time, and I think it can be true. And he says, you know, a lot of people have died to sin but never come alive in Christ. Now, I know technically that can't happen. But I think that a lot of times that's the way some people are. I've seen people who were baptized and changed their past way of life and no longer participated in those things that would please Satan. But they never found their joy. They never found their place. They never found their life living in the church, living in Christ, living in the body. Paul says, life, resurrection, that's the whole point of our unity. That's the whole point, the resurrection. Because if there is no resurrection, if there is no life, then everything that we're about is worthless, is in vain. I stand before you tonight as a sinner in need of God's grace. But I also stand before you tonight as a sinner who has been washed by the blood of Jesus. And I have to tell you that it is important to understand that when any of us, when each of us was washed by the blood of Jesus, that when any of us were buried in the watery grave of baptism and was united with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, that we are able to hold and to have that confidence, that consolation, that hope, that glory of knowing that the ultimate resurrection was when I'll meet the Lord in the air. When I'll be raised up one last time to meet him. I've often prayed that God would give me a glimpse of his glory. I want you to know that my understanding of the scripture tonight says God has given us a glimpse of his glory by seeing his Son who has raised. by His resurrection, I am able to take my next step. Yes, my past is still behind me. And I don't want to be unfit, so I'm not going to look back. I'm going to press on towards the mark, press on towards the goal, just as I know that you do. But I want to encourage you this evening to understand it's the gospel message of Jesus Christ Himself by which we stand. If we hold fast to the knowledge and understanding that Jesus, according to Scripture, came to earth, that Jesus, according to Scripture, was killed, crucified, that Jesus, according to Scripture, was buried and then rose again, giving me the promise that if my Lord does not return before I lay this old body down, it'll be raised up on that glad morning. I hope each one here tonight has that consolation, has that encouragement, has that strength. And if you don't, please know that our leadership, our elders, your preacher wants to help you in any way we can to be able to leave with a glimpse of God's glory through His Son Jesus. If there's a way that we can help you come in contact with the blood of Jesus, grant us the opportunity while we stand and while we sing.